Tejasvinavati tamastu mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Repeat after me. Sadashiva samarambham Shankaracharya madhyamam Shankara Asmaracharya pariyantam Asmarach Vande Guru Paramparam. Very good. Very good. Welcome back. I would request all of you to be here for the meditation and to be here on time and not to enter during the meditation. So please, this is an important part of preparation. So just make a point of being here on time. Thank you. We're continuing with our study of our second text, Manisha Panchakam. We began the study in last week's class, and we will continue today. In the handout, I think you're all getting our handouts from the internet. If you haven't already, please be sure you do so, because it'll help you follow through. In the handout, the question, the two halves of the question are interchanged. So we'll take the first part first and the second part second. Let's just recite it, and we'll pick up the thread and continue where we left off last time. Repeat after me, please. Pratyag vasturi nistaranga sahaja, pratyag vasturi nistaranga sahaja, nandava bodham buddhao, nandava bodham buddhao. Trying to remember the melody. Viproyam shvapachoyam ityapi mahan. Viproyam shvapachoyam ityapi mahan. Koyam vibhedha brahmaha. Koyam vibhedha brahmaha. Kim gam gambuni bimbi tembaramanao. Kim gam gambuni bimbi te. Chandala viti payehe. Chandala viti parehe. Pure vantara masti kanchana gati. Pure vantara masti kanchana. Mritkumba yor vambare. Mritkumba yor vambare. Good. So we had begun the discussion of this question. If you remember the introduction to this Manisha Panchakam, the whole setup, the story I'll recount very briefly. Sri Shankaracharya and his disciples in Kashi meet this Chandala, this outcast, Mlecha, and Sri Shankaracharya, without giving it much thought, tells his fellow, Gacha, Gacha, go, go, go away. And to everyone's great surprise, the Chandala challenges Sri Shankaracharya in pristine Sanskrit. So we saw the opening question in the Chandala question, Sri Shankara, in the opening verse. Do you want this body to go away from that body? Or do you want this consciousness to go away from that consciousness? In either case, it's silly. And then the question grows even more profound. And the first part of the question we saw in the last class, we'll just see it briefly to pick up the thread. So in the second part of the question, he asks, Pratyag vastuni nistaranga sahaja nanda avabodha ambudao. Pratyag vastuni, with regard to the true self dwelling within, the reality, vastu means reality here. With regard to the reality dwelling within, which is nistaranga sahaja nanda avabodha sambuddhi, it is an ocean of limitless consciousness. What a beautiful expression. This Chandala has quite a command over Sanskrit, and he speaks here in beautiful poetry. So with regard to that vast ocean of consciousness that dwells within, the question continues, Vipraha ayam, shvapachaha ayam, iti How can you say, koyam vibheda brahmah, koyam, kaha ayam? What is this? What is this? What is this iti, thus, shvapacha ayam, vipraha ayam? What is this? How can you say this one is a brahmana? Vipra means brahmana. How can you say this one is an outcast? Shvapacha. Remember the literal meaning of that? One who cooks dogs. That's really a vile, obnoxious word. And the Chandala himself uses that word. So he says, how can you differentiate? Koyam vibheda brahma. What kind of error, what kind of wrong thinking, vibhrama, what kind of confusion is this that you attempt to differentiate? And remember, Chandala is addressing Sri Shankaracharya, who's surrounded by his disciples. Interesting. What guru likes to be challenged in the presence of his disciples? First of all, what guru likes to be challenged at all? Further, what guru likes to be challenged in the presence of his disciples? You will be absolutely amazed when you see Sri Shankaracharya's acceptance of what the Chandala says. In fact, we'll see this in just a few minutes in tonight's class. Sri Shankaracharya not only accepts the truth of what the Chandala has said, but Sri Shankaracharya accepts the Chandala as his guru. You'll see that a little bit later. So what a remarkable person Sri Shankaracharya must have been to be so great, so learned. But where is that pride? Where is that ego? Burnt away due to the teachings of Vedanta. We'll see all that as we come to it. So here in the Chandala's question, challenge to Sri Shankara, he was actually chastising Sri Shankara, saying, hey, what is this vibheda of Brahma? What is this confusion about this absolutely arbitrary distinction you're attempting to make between a Chandala and a Brahmana? No distinctions can be applied pratyagvastuni with regard to the true self. This much we saw in the first class. This much also just to get us back on track. Before we proceed to the next part of the question, I'd like to share with you a very touching story I heard from one of our students. One of our students who said that his son or daughter was going to be married to a non-Hindu, and this person had been raised in an extremely orthodox environment, and he was very upset, very concerned that his son or daughter would marry a non-Hindu. And it was really hard. And I've met families. Some families are able to handle this better. Some really, really struggle with it. And he was struggling with it so much, and he was so upset and so frustrated and so concerned until he attended a class and heard this verse. How wonderful is that? Because that's exactly what the teaching is. With regard to pratyagvastuni, we can loosely translate it as heart. With regard to one's heart, it makes absolutely no difference if one is a vipra, a brahmana. Actually, the requirements, of course, is not just Hindu, but brahmana. Not just brahmana, but brahmana from this region, speaking this language, part of this subcaste. These are all the requirements, right? But pratyagvastuni, with regard to one's heart, it makes absolutely no difference. And what a wonderful story it was to hear that this particular verse helped that person so much. The last part of the question, which is the previous slide, the Chandala is very learned in Vedanta and proceeds to give Sri Shankara a little lesson in Vedanta. He says, Kim, how is it that Ganga Ambuni Bimbite Ambara Manao, we have to break these words apart a little bit, Ambara Manao, What a poetry is something else. This Chandala is quite a poet. He's a kavi. Kavi means poet. If you want to say sun, you could just say Surya. That is so boring. That's not poetry. He says, Ambra Mani, the jewel of the sky. Ooh. The jewel of the sky, Ambra Mani. He says, Ambra Manao, when the jewel of the sky is bimbite, reflected in Ganga Ambuni, in the waters of the Ganga. Or Chandala Viti Payas, Payehe. Or if that light of the sun is bimbite, is reflected in Viti Payehe, in the waters along the path, Chandala Viti, along the road of where the Chandalas live, slum would be the kind of modern word for that. If the light of the sun is reflected in the holy waters of the Ganga, or if it's reflected in this putrid water in the gutter of a slum, does it affect the light? Is the sun affected in any way? That Ambra Mani, that jewel of the sky, shines without being affected whatsoever. So this is the first of two metaphors the Chandala uses to teach Sri Shankaracharya a lesson. Just as the light of the sun is utterly unaffected by whatever it gets reflected by, in the same way the light of consciousness, which is reflected in your mind, is utterly unaffected, whether it's in the mind of a great saint or if it's in the mind of a mass murderer. That consciousness is utterly unaffected. By the way, this teaching we'll get into a little later when we get to the text Drigdrisha Viveka. This text is still introductory. So the first part of this little teaching, the Chandala says, hey, what difference does it make when consciousness reflected anywhere remains the same Satchidananda Atma? Then he gives a second drishtanta, a second metaphor. First drishtanta was a sun reflected in the water. Second drishtanta he gives, pure va antaram asti kanchana gati or mrit kumbayoho va ambre. Suppose there is pure ambre. Yeah, these words are on both ends, I know. Pure ambre. There is some ambra, some space, which fills. Pure. Pure ambre. When space fills a kanchana gati, a little golden pot. If space fills a little golden pot, or mrit kumbayoho, or a mrit kumba, a clay pot. If space fills a golden pot or a clay pot, antramastiva, is there any difference? He asks, antramastiva, is there any difference in the space, whether the space is contained in a clay pot or a precious gold pot? It affects the space not at all. Might affect you if it's your pot. You'd rather have the gold pot than the clay pot. But the space is utterly unaffected. In the same way, consciousness can dwell, we'll go right back to that same language, consciousness can dwell in the body and mind of a saint. Consciousness can dwell in the body and mind of that mass murderer. The consciousness is utterly the same and utterly unaffected by that in which it dwells. When space is in the golden pot, it doesn't get improved. When space is in the clay pot, it doesn't get somehow degraded. It makes no difference whatsoever. So he says, antramasti va? Is there any difference in both of these cases? Just as the sun can be reflected in anything, the sun remains utterly unchanged. In the same way, space can fill any container, and regardless of the container it fills, space is utterly unchanged. Both of these drishtantas, interesting. We're going to see this in great detail before. Some of you have studied Vedanta extensively before, might recognize that these are the two primary ways of explaining the relationship between consciousness and the mind, between Chaitanya and Manas, Buddhi. The two main ways we're going to see this much more, we're going to learn about Pratibimbavada and Avachedavada. If you haven't heard these terms before, don't even worry about it. It'll be explained in great detail later. But the two main ways of explaining the relationship between consciousnesses and the mind is Pratibimbavada, that consciousness is reflected in the mind, and Avachedavada, which says that thoughts are forms of consciousness. Consciousness fills each thought, like space fills a pot. So if you're unfamiliar with these, don't worry. It's going to be explained much more in that when we get to Drigdrisha Viveka. This text is introductory. But significant, isn't it, that the Chandala quotes the two primary teaching methodologies. Prakriya is the word we use in Sanskrit. So the Chandala is knowledgeable enough to teach Shankaracharya the two main prakriyas for establishing the relationship between consciousness and the mind, for showing the independence of consciousness from the mind, for showing that consciousness is utterly unaffected with whatever mind it's associated with. Amazing that the Chandala is giving, what is the expression? A taste of his own medicine? Is that the idiom? So Shankara is getting a taste of his own medicine. This is what Shankaracharya teaches. And here the Chandala gives it right back to him. Now, we're ready to proceed. The Chandala's question concludes here. Technically speaking, the question is not part of the text. The text is a panchakam, a set of five verses. These five verses are composed not by the Chandala, but by Sri Shankaracharya. So we're ready now to begin the panchakam proper, which is the teachings of Sri Shankaracharya in response to what he's heard from the Chandala. So let's see the text here. Jagrat swapna sushupti shu svutatara. Jagrat swapna sushupti shu svutatara. Ya samvirudhrimbate. Ya samvirudhrimbate. Ya brahmhari pipili kanta tanushu. Ya brahmhari pipili kanta tanushu. Prota jagat sakshini. Prota jagat sakshini saivaham nacha drishya vastvati dridha saivaham nacha drishya vastvati dridha prajnapi yasyasti chet prajnapi yasyasti chet chandalos tu satu dvijos tu gurur. Chandalos tu satu dvijos tu gurur. It yesha manisha mama. It yesha manisha mama. Let's just see this last part first, because this is where the name of the panchakam comes from. Iti esha manisha mama. Iti, thus. Esha manisha. This is my conclusion. Mama. Mama Manisha, this is my conclusion, this is my understanding, Sri Shankaracharya says. What is his understanding? Chandalaha astu, bihi a chandala, saha, he may be a chandala, tu, or dvijaha astu, or he may be a dvija, a twice-born, a brahmana. Whether he is a chandala or a brahmana, it makes no difference. according to Sri Shankaracharya, he is a guru. He is a teacher, be he a chandala or a brahmana. He is a guru if he's understood what this particular chandala has understood. Now, let's just reflect on what I said before. Sri Shankara, gurus are often known for their big egos. What a shame. It just seems so contrary to what a guru should be about anyway. And look at Sri Shankaracharya's response. Does he get angry at the chandala? Is he embarrassed to be challenged in front of his students, his shishyas? In fact, Sri Shankaracharya praises the chandala by composing this panchakam. And this panchakam was then shared with his students. So Sri Shankaracharya, in response, praised this chandala to his students. Why? Because of the chandala's wisdom. Let's see the chandala's wisdom now. Now, Sri Shankaracharya is speaking now for the remainder of these verses. So this is now Sri Shankaracharya teaching in this panchaka in response to the chandala statement. So Sri Shankaracharya says, Jagrat swapna sushuptishu sputatara ya samvit. Ya samvit. Samvit is one of the many words we have for consciousness. Chit, chaitanya, jnanam, nyapti, samvit. These are all synonyms in a Vedantic sense. So, ya samvit, that consciousness which udrimbate is manifest. It shines. That consciousness which shines forth where? Jagrat, in your waking state, swapna, while you're dreaming, and sushuptishu, and in sushupti, in deep sleep. That consciousness which udrimbate is manifest in all three states of experience, waking, dream, and deep sleep. It's manifest how? Sputatara. As that which is most clear, most vivid, most evident. The consciousness present while you're awake, the consciousness present while you're dreaming, the consciousness that's present when you're in deep sleep. Some of you are thinking, consciousness is present in deep sleep? That's a right question. If that question came, thank you, excellent. I think I joked in the last class, the two problems come. One is, if the statement is made, consciousness exists in deep sleep, if your response is you're snoring, that's one negative response. What was the other negative response? Oh yeah, I know that. These are the two problems, two obstacles to true Vedantic learning. You have to be alert, and you have to test each of these statements against your experience. So the challenge now is, are you indeed conscious during deep sleep? Now, we're not ready for this conversation. Each one of these verses in this panchakam unfolds the entire teaching of Vedanta. Actually, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Each one of them individually gives you the equivalent of a Mahavakya. They give you the whole teaching of Vedanta. So right now is not the time to unfold these teachings in detail. This text is still introductory. When we get to Drigdrisha Viveka, which is our next text, we're going to get into this very deeply and find out what is this samvit, chaitanya, consciousness, and how is it that it's manifest even in sushupti, even in deep sleep. We'll discuss that very thoroughly. But Sri Shankaracharya here says that that consciousness, which is clearly manifest and shining in the three states of experience, he says that consciousness, this is just wonderful, that consciousness is prota. It is woven into experience. Nice expression, isn't it? Prota literally means woven. don't know how I translate it here. It just says it's in all beings. But prota literally means woven. That consciousness is woven into all your experience, but not just your experiences. Ya brahmadi pipilika anta tanushu. It's woven into tanushu, into all bodies, all beings. From Brahmaji, Brahma Adi, starting with Brahmaji, and Pipilika Anta, and coming from Brahmaji, coming Anta, all the way down to a Pipilika ant. From Brahmaji to an ant, this samvit, this consciousness, is prota, it's woven into every being. And being present in every being, this consciousness is Jagat Sakshini. That which is the witness of the universe, the witness of the cosmos, the consciousness present in every being, standing witness to everything that occurs in the universe. Amazing. And the language that's used here is very powerful. This is Sri Shankaracharya's vision. This is pure knowledge, atmajnanam, self-knowledge. This is what's going to, and this particular subject matter will be taken up in the next text, Dridrsha Viveka. Then Sri Shankara says that one who has this vision of reality, one who knows that that one consciousness pervades, that consciousness not only pervades your experience, that the consciousness, that same consciousness, let me say this very clearly, the same consciousness that pervades all of your experiences is the same consciousness that pervades the cosmos. Wow. And Sri Shankara says, Sa eva aham. One who thinks, sa eva aham, I am that consciousness, sa samvit, I am that consciousness. One who thinks that way, one who thinks, nacha drishya vastu iti, I am that consciousness, nacha, but I am not drishya vastu, any object that is seen, drishya. I am that consciousness, I am not a seen object. A seen object like what? Not like a chair or a book. A seen object like your body. A seen object like your thoughts. A seen object. Seen means experienced. An experienced object like your thoughts, like your emotions. Your thoughts, emotions, and body are drishya. They're seen by you, known to you. But iti, he says, thus, one who thinks thus, dridha, very firmly, one who thinks that I am that consciousness, I am not this body, mind, or senses. Sri Shankara says, pragnya api yasya asti chet. Chet, if, yasya asti, if someone has pragnya api, this particular knowledge. Yasya asti chet. If someone has this knowledge, this wisdom, this vision of reality, what is that vision? Sa eva aham. I am that consciousness. I am not the body, mind, senses. Sri Shankara says, if somebody has that consciousness, I'm sorry, if somebody has that wisdom, what does Sri Shankaracharya call that person? Guruhu. Such a person is fit to be my guru, Sri Shankaracharya says. Whether he's a chandala, whether he's a vipra, a brahmana, or dvija, it says here, it makes no difference. A person who has that vision of reality is fit to be my guru, fit to be anyone's guru, whether he's chandala or brahmana. What a vast vision. If questions come up on a verse like this, as I said before, that's really good. It means you're thinking. We will, in the next text, begin to address this in great detail. Right now, Sri Shankaracharya is pointing to the nature of a guru. Without a guru, we're not going to be able to make this discovery. So Sri Shankaracharya is talking about guru. In a sense, in his class, for all of us, we can take Sri Shankaracharya as our guru. We can even take the Chandala as being our guru in this sense, because through this text, we're all being taught. All right, let's proceed then to the second verse of the Panchaka.
Brahmaivahamidam jagatcha sakalam. Brahmaivahamidam jagatcha sakalam. Chinmatra vistaritam. Chinmatra vistaritam. Sarvam chaitara vidyaya trigunaya. Sarvam chaitara vidyaya trigunaya. Shesham maya kalpitam. Shesham maya kalpitam. Ittham yasya dridhamate sukhatare. Ittham yasya dridhamate sukhatare. Nitye pare nirmale. Nitye pare nirmale. Chandalostu satu dvijostu gurur. Chandalostu satu dvijostu gurur. It ye shamani shamama. It ye shamani shamama.
In that final line, you can see the theme continuing through the Panchakam, where Sri Shankaracharya says that that person is a guru, whether chandalaha astu, whether he is an outcast, sa, he, or he is dvijaha astu, or be he a dvija, a twice-born, in this case a brahmana, it makes no difference. Such a person who has this vision of Vedanta, such a person can be a guru, iti, thus, esha manisha mama, thus is my firm conviction, manisha, firm conviction. Esha, this is my firm conviction. So what is the understanding of the guru in this verse? So in the prior verse, talked about samvit consciousness. The consciousness that pervades your experience is identical with the consciousness that pervades the cosmos. This verse now takes a different direction. Sri Shankara says, we said before, each verse is like a Mahavakya. Here comes a Mahavakya. Brahma eva aham. Brahma eva aham. I am that Brahman. Now, Brahma is a technical term we use to describe the reality because of which everything exists. That's a very simple definition for a very profound truth. We'll talk much more about it. Brahma eva aham. I am that Brahman because of which everything exists. I am that Brahman. Now, again, each one of these verses is unfolding the entire teaching of Vedanta, so we're not going to teach the details for the verses. This particular teaching will be found not in Drigdrisha Viveka, but in the next text after that, Panchi Karana. The texts we've chosen are chosen in a proper order. We talked about that in the very first class, so that these teachings will be very methodically unfolded instead of in a jumble. Right now we're getting the overview, so to speak. So, a person who recognizes who is a guru in Sri Shankaracharya's mind is the one who can say, aham brahmasmi, brahma eva aham, I am Brahman. That ultimate reality. Now, there's some confusion here. If Brahman is the reality because of which everything exists, then what about everything that exists? What is all of this? If Brahman is the underlying reality, then what shall we say about the world around us? What is the relationship between Brahman and the world? What is the relationship I need my prop. Give me one moment.
Yeah.
Need a prop. This is a famous teaching prop, a clay pot. What is the relationship between Brahman and the world? The metaphor that's used again and again is a relationship between clay and pot. We can speak of a relationship. We can use words like the pot is made of clay. It is a clay pot. But when we, again, we're going to hold off on the details of this discussion until we get to Panchikarana, because there's a lot to be said. But there's a lot of confusion about this. Let's just make quick reference to the confusion here. If I call this a clay pot, this is one of my own guru's favorite teachings. He likes to observe that in language, there are nouns and adjectives. Let's just see this briefly, and you'll see the confusion. Thank you. So we call this clay pot. But my guru likes to note that there are adjectives and nouns, and in this expression, the adjective is clay, right? And pot is the noun? Telling you what kind of pot? It's not a glass pot, it's not a metal pot, it's not a wood pot. It is a clay pot. So clearly clay is the adjective and pot is the noun, but Pujya Swami Dayananda likes to point out that this is massively confused. Not just a little, it's utter confusion. Because noun is the thing, adjective is what qualifies the thing. What I'm holding in my hand, what is the thing I'm holding? What is the stuff? What is the underlying substance? This is really clay, is it not? This is clay in the form of a pot. If we think about this as clay in the form of a pot, doesn't that mean clay is a noun and pot is the adjective? My gosh, we've got it backwards. English language apparently has it backwards, which is why Pujya Swamiji suggested we should call it pati clay. Not that potty, come on. All right. When we think about the world around us, we think that, oh, this universe has Brahman as its underlying reality. And at first it sounds pretty good, but even that expression has some confusion in it. If we say that this universe has Brahman as its underlying reality, it's the equivalent of saying this pot has clay as the underlying reality. But when I say this pot, I'm turning it into a noun, aren't I? We just got done saying pot is really an adjective. When I say this pot, I'm elevating its status from, it got a raise from adjective to noun. Its status is elevated. But that's not right. To say that this is a pot manifest from clay is actually incorrect, fundamentally speaking. What I'm holding is clay. The fact that it's in the form of a pot is incidental. What's here is truly clay. Now, this is the drishtanta. The darshtanta is when we look at the world around us. Idam jagat. Idam, this jagat, this world. This sakalam, this entire world around us, Sri Shankaracharya says, it is chinmatram vistaritam. It is nothing but an expanse, vistaritam, an expanse of what? Chinmatram, of consciousness. Huh? This universe that you see around us, he says, is an expanse of consciousness. You thought it was a universe. You thought it was a pot. It's not a pot. It's nothing but clay. You thought it was a universe. What we're going to see unfolded very thoroughly when we get to the Panchikarana text is that what you think is a material universe is a creation of your own mind. And we're going to see when we get there a very powerful metaphor. There are two metaphors that we use. Just as we have those two metaphors to discuss the relationship between consciousness and mind, we talked of Pratibimbavada and Avachedavada. In the same way, when we try to talk about the relationship between Brahman and the universe, we're going to use two main metaphors once again, two main teaching prakriyas, methodologies, once again. One is what I've just given, is a relationship between form and substance, the relationship between the underlying reality, which is called satya, and the apparent reality, which we can call mithya. That's one level that we'll discuss it. We're just introducing these topics right now, by the way. We'll see it in much more detail later. The second main teaching technique, prakriya, that we're going to use is what's described here. He says, sarvam cha etat, all this entire universe, sak idam sakalam jagat, this entire universe, idam sakalam jagat, this entire universe. This entire universe, which is chinmatra vistaritam, nothing but an expanse of consciousness, sarvam, all of this, ashesham, without exception, all of this without exception is maya kalpitam. All of this is kalpita. It is projected maya by me. This entire universe is projected by me. How can I project a universe? Avidyaya, trigunaya, through avidya, ignorance. Ignorance is trigunatmika, has three gunas associated with it. Again, details we'll see another time. Avidyaya trigunaya, due to ignorance, maya kalpitam sarvam, I project this entire universe. Now, that may sound utterly ludicrous on a surface. If you question it again, that's good. But it's not so surprising that we make fundamental mistakes. One thing Vedanta is remarkable about is showing how conventional wisdom is conventional, but it's not wisdom. Conventional wisdom is clay pot, but we've got it backwards. Conventional wisdom is gold chain, but that's also backwards. Pujya Swamiji calls it chainy gold. Conventional wisdom is conventional, but it's wrong. In the same way, when you look around you and you see a physical world around you, and you conclude that this world is real, this world is a thing, it is a noun, idam jagat, noun. Idam jagat is a noun. But maybe we've got that wrong too. Maybe this universe, idam jagat, is not a noun, but it's an adjective modifying Brahman. Again, we'll get the details later. But just as this pot is really an adjective describing clay, in the same way this universe is not a thing. It's an adjective that describes Brahman, the underlying reality. Now then you wonder, how is it then, if everything is truly Brahman, then why do I see a universe? That's what Sri Shankara is saying here. Avidyaya trigunaya maya kalpitam. All of this is projected by me. The reality of the universe is projected by me. Now, again, details We'll see later, but the other metaphor, I said two metaphors we're going to use here. One is the relationship between form and substance, the satya-mitya relationship. But the other relationship is something very startling. You can create your own reality. Maya kalpitam, projected by you. What does it mean to say that you project, avidyaya, due to ignorance, you project? Here comes our second famous metaphor in this context, and that is the raju sarpa. Sarpa, you know. Raju means rope, rope snake. When you're going down the dark lane and you see the snake laying in your way, there's no snake. You all have heard this story many times. There's no snake. There's only a piece of rope laying across your path. Good. Who created that snake? This is amazing. You created that snake. Maya kalpitam has been projected by me. Maya, by me. How do you create that snake? Avidyaya, due to ignorance, avidya. With your power of imagination and ignorance, you create a snake where there isn't one. If you can create a snake, I bet you can create many other things. When you're dreaming, you create a whole dream world. Right now, we're not dreaming. We're fully aware. I don't think so. Not yet, anyway. Several hours you'll be at home dreaming. But right now, we're awake. If you can project things while you're dreaming, and you can project things while you're awake, you see, you create that snake when you're awake. Is it possible that we might project much more than the snake? When we look around us and we see the world around us as a stable, physical, real thing, we're actually projecting that. The next verse, I think it's the next verse, is going to explain that. Yeah, correct. We think the world around us is real. Let's just pause on this point and explain a little bit further, and then before we go on to the next verse. This line says, sarvam ashesham, all of this universe, ashesham, without exception, without anything being left out, all of this idam saklam jagat, this entire world, maya kalpitam, is projected by me, avidyaya trigunaya, due to ignorance, which has the three gunas associated with it. What we're projecting is something that's not there. What's not there is a real jagat. No one can deny that you experience jagat. Jagat means world. No one can deny that you experience jagat. But we don't just experience a world, we think it's real. How real is the world? Is it as real as you think? And if any of you have studied a little bit of modern physics, you can start to understand it's not as real as we think. The very cutting edge of modern science says that everything that exists is composed not merely of atoms, not merely of subatomic particles, the so-called protons, neutrons, electrons, not even of the next layer down they call quarks, but they suspect that underlying these quarks is something incredibly nebulous and unknowable that they're saying are like tiny vibrating strings of energy. Strings of energy which can even blink in and out of existence according to quantum theory. This is modern science. This is cutting edge science. Cutting edge science means science after Einstein. From this modern perspective, Einstein is old fashioned, surprisingly. This comes much, much after. So what these modern scientists are saying is that what you think is real and substantial is flickers of energy. Flickering energy. We don't see it as flickering energy. We see it as being very real. That's not true. If you see something solid and real, that is your projection. A famous example of projecting something real, you realize when you're sitting in front of the TV watching things, some of you may know this, you're actually watching 30 still pictures per second projected on your TV screen. You're not watching motion. You're watching like animation, where they show you one picture, and then you get the picture a moment later, then you get the picture a moment after that, and a picture a moment after that, and a picture a moment after that, like the stop action animation. Whenever you watch TV, that's what you're getting. 30 images a second. When you go to a movie theater, you're getting that same stop action animation. Only in a movie theater, it's 24 frames per second. Don't ask me why. There's lots of reasons for all that. 30 frames a second, 24 frames a second. Is that what you're watching when you turn on the TV? Do you see 30 images in a second? You see unbroken motion. What is the reality? The reality is 30 images in a second. How is it that you see unbroken motion, fluid motion? That fluid motion is a projection of your mind. We misinterpret reality. This is pure Vedanta, and this is one topic we're going to come back to many times in the coming months. We misinterpret our experience. We misinterpret the world around us. We make lots of errors. We make errors with regard to the pot. We make errors with regard to the snake. We make errors with regard to the universe. These errors, avidyaya kalpitam, these errors are projected due to ignorance. So Shishankara says, yasya itam dridha madhihi. Yasya, one who possesses ittam matihi, one who possesses this wisdom, mati, this understanding, ittam, in this manner, one who understands thus, understands what? That this world is not as real as it seems, this world is projected by us. One, yasya ittam matihi, one who has this vision, this understanding, one who has it dridha, very firmly, one who has this very firm understanding, and one who sukatare nitye pare nirmale, one who has this vision and dwells in this nitye pare nirmale sukatare, one who has this vision with regard to the truth. These are almost all adjectives. Hard to make this into a nice sentence. One whose mati, one whose mind is established in sukatare, in the most blissful, nitye, in the eternal, pare, in the transcendent, nirmale, in that which is pure. One whose mind is established in this transcendent, pure reality, which transcends the world, that which is beyond appearance, beyond the snake is the rope, beyond the pot is clay, beyond your favorite TV show is 30 still pictures per second. Beyond this universe is Ananda Brahman, is the Brahman, which is the fullness of the universe. Sukhatare, that which is the most full, the most blissful. Nitya, para, nirmala, pure, transcendent, unchanging. One whose mind, who can appreciate that, who dwells in that, such a person is a guru. That's what Sri Shankaracharya concludes. Iti esha manisha mama. This is my conclusion, that such a person is a guru, be he a chandala or a dvija, a brahmana, that person is a guru who appreciates this truth. So again, this truth will be unfolded. The truth of the individual self, Atma, will be unfolded in Driktrishavaveka. The truth of Brahman will be unfolded in our next text after that, Panchikarana. Let's continue to the next verse. Well, let's get started here.
Shashvan ashwaram eva vishvam akilam. Shashvan ashwaram eva vishvam akilam. Nishchitya vacha guror. Nishchitya vacha guror. Nityam brahma nirantaram vimrishata. Nityam brahma nirantaram vimrishata. Nirvyaja shantatmana, nirvyaja shantatmana, bhutam bhavicha dushkritam pradahata, bhutam bhavicha dushkritam pradahata, samvinmaye pavake, prarabdhaya samarpitam svavapur, prarabdhaya samarpitam svavapur, ityesha manisha mama, ityesha manisha mama.
So we're talking about the vision of modern science, that the world is not as real as it seems. Even if you just look at it from the standpoint of particles, you think this is solid. The scientist says, no, it's made of atoms. Atoms, which you remember from a science class, are these little nucleus with a bunch of electrons spinning around, and in between, 99.99% empty space. You think it's solid? Not according to a scientist. This is how we misinterpret our experience. We attribute to the world around us a reality it doesn't deserve. Just like one who gets fooled in a dark alley, you attribute to a snake a reality it doesn't deserve. While you're dreaming, you attribute to your dream a reality it doesn't deserve. When you wake up, when you see the snake as being a rope, you wake up out of the illusion. When you wake up from your dream, you realize that the dream is not as real as you thought. When you wake up out of this illusion, this worldly illusion, this avidya, this ignorance, when you wake up with the help of this Vedantic teaching, when you wake up to reality, you will discover that just as the snake wasn't real, just as your dream wasn't real, you'll discover that this world that you experience right now is not as real as you think. And that's what's described here. This world, shash, what an expression. Shashvan nashvaram eva vishvam akilam. Vishvam akilam. Akilam, this entire vishvam, world. This entire world is nashvaram, being destroyed, shashvan, constantly being destroyed. This sounds like modern science. When science says, when the cutting-edge science says that underlying all of these particles and atoms and electrons and quarks, underlying all of them are flickering loops of energy Flickering. Flickering means inconstant. Not constant. Coming in and out of existence. Believe it or not, modern science says that matter and energy are constantly interchanging. Matter becomes energy, energy becomes matter constantly. Going back and forth so quickly you can't tell. Just like when you watch TV, 30 frames per second. What you think is solid is flickering energy. That's modern science. What does this verse say? Akilam Vishwam, this entire world, is Shashwan Nashwaram. It's constantly being destroyed. This is identical to the vision of modern science. What you think is constant, steady, and real is in reality flickering in and out of existence, flickering like, it's like watching the TV. You think that that's a real thing you're watching. 30 individual images projected one at a time, and you take it as being real movement. Boy, we're pretty easy to fool. Don't you think so? It's so easy to fool us. Little optical illusions are all it takes to fool us. So this entire world is Shashwan Nashwaram. It's constantly decaying, constantly changing. Nishchitya, one who has understood this, having understood that the world is constantly changing, constantly being destroyed, one who's understood this, how would you understand this? Vacha guroho, with the guru's teachings, with the vacha, with the vak, with the words guroho of the guru. With the help of the guru's words, you come to understand that the world is not as real as you thought. You come to understand, ultimately, that there is an unchanging reality because of which this flickering world exists. That unchanging reality is Brahman. That's what it says. Nityam Brahma. That Brahman is Nityam. We have a very... Nityam is often translated as eternal. And whenever I use that word eternal, I can only hear my own guru's joke about eternal. Eternal, he says, is a very inadequate word because for us, eternal are things that just don't go away, they don't decay. And he compares eternal to styrofoam, which goes into the landfills and remains there without decaying century after century. Styrofoam. A thousand years from now, archaeologists from the year 3000, from the year 3010, archaeologists will look upon the late 20th and early 21st century. You know how they have all these periods, the Paleozoic period. They have all these periods of time. Then there's a Bronze Age and the Iron Age. And then we come to the Industrial Revolution, the Industrial Age, and then the Communication Age. Well, this will be known as the Styrofoam Age. Because these ancient, or these future archaeologists would just find styrofoam and styrofoam and styrofoam. Gosh. So, nitya is not that which exists for a long time, like styrofoam. We have a very precise definition. Trikala abhaditam. Definition we use for satyam. Same for nityam. That which is trikala abhaditam, that which is abhaditam, non-negatable in trikala, in three periods of time, past, present, and future, it is the same. That which existed in the past, that which exists now, that which will always exist in the future. Now, existing in the past means not just for thousands of years, it means for all time. That which exists in the past for all time is that which was never created. Correct? that which exists in the past for all time is that which was never created. It exists now, and it will exist for all time in the future. This is what nitya means. This is what is Brahman. Brahma, the underlying reality because of which everything exists. This universe is a flickering image, like your TV screen. But Brahman, the underlying reality for which the universe exists, is nityam. Unchanging, unborn, uncreated. One who nirantram vimrshata. One who vimrshata goes on contemplating, by meditating, by contemplating on that nityam brahma, on that unchanging reality. One who meditates on that underlying reality, nirantram, constantly. Constantly meditating on that underlying reality, that unchanging Brahman, meditating how? Nirvyaja Shanta Atmana. One who goes on meditating on that reality with Shantatma here refers to the mind which is quiet. Shantatma means a silent mind. Atma here means mind. Shantatma, a silent mind. A silent mind which is nirvyaja, unaffected by anything. Nirvaja shantatmana, by one who has a silent mind, unaffected by anything, who goes on meditating on this nityam brahma. Now, you know where this is going. There's more to see in the next class, but Shankaracharya is going to say, one who knows that this world is flickering energy, and it's not as real as it seems. One who has nishchitya vacha guroho, one who has ascertained that through the words of one's guru. One who vimrshata goes on meditating, nirantaram, constantly, on this nityam brahma, on this unchanging reality, because of which the flickering world exists. And that person who meditates with a nirvaja, shantatmana, with a mind which is silent and unaffected by anything else, what would Sri Shankara say of that person? Such a person is fit to be guru, whether chandala or dvija, whether the person is outcast or brahmana, such a person is guru. Iti esha manisha mama. Thus is my conclusion. We'll see the remainder of this verse in the next class. Good. An important announcement. I try my best not to interrupt our classes, not to cancel classes, but next week I will be away. So next Tuesday there will be no class. We will not meet next Tuesday. We will meet on the following Tuesday. And we always post any class changes on our website, so you can also check our website, and I'll make sure that this information is on our website. So please remember, don't come next Tuesday. Come the Tuesday after that. Good. We'll conclude with our prayer.